Hi folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here. Teresa, happy new year.
Petra, happy new year.
Oh, it's so amazing to be back in 2026. I still need to practice the writing.
I know. I just did my update all the places on my website. You know, I have this task that rolls over every year because sometimes it'll be June and I'll be like, oh, my copyright statement is still in last year. It's always the beginning of the year.
I have a
January 1st task.
To be GDPR compliant in the EU, we have to check if we keep too many customer data. So I'm always deleting all my expired customer contact data and all this stuff this time of the year. So that's a similar task.
Yeah.
The new year brings.
The administrative side of the turn of the new year.
Yeah, exactly. But what is on top of mind when I ask you about what are you excited for? For 2026, is there something? Could be anything. What's on top of mind?
Yeah, I think there's two obvious things that are different for me. And then there's probably maybe two more areas I'm really excited to explore. So the first is we're no longer holding live cohorts of our deep dive courses.
Yeah,
this
wild.
Is a huge change.
Yeah, huge change.
I think we talked about it on a previous podcast.
Yeah, we touched upon it.
But what I found was it just wasn't the right delivery mechanism to get the outcomes that we wanted. Mm. So a lot of our deep dive courses have been running for a long time. Our continuous interviewing course is one of our most successful programs. Yeah. But it works great for direct to consumer, but where it was falling short was when we're working with a company, there's sort of this heavy lift of training that when you engage with the company, they only want so many, let's call them workshops, even though they're not workshops. And you can't be well, it's going to take 2 years of workshops to learn all the discovery habits, even though it is going to take 2 years of workshops to learn
but
all the discovery habits.
Right? Yeah.
And it was just kind of the wrong model. And I was forcing it for a while, and the direct to consumer business was strong. So it was fun. It was nice to have that. But I think what motivated me to change it is I'm really excited about using AI in teaching, and I want to spend my time building AI teaching tools. But when you run a cohort business, there's a lot of administration required to launch a cohort, promote a cohort, run a cohort, offboard a cohort. And we were running a lot of cohorts, and so it wasn't really giving me space to do new things. And so I almost see this as a burn the ships, cut what was working to make space for what is going to be the next thing that works. It's a little bit scary. Hopefully. But what we're doing for consumers, so it was working for consumers and we don't want to lose that, so we're converting our deep dive cohort program to on demand.
Okay.
And then for corporations, we're actually rolling out a different product, and that we're calling the Discovery Habits Toolbox.
And do you still have to build it, Teresa?
I don't know. We actually have our first customers live on the toolbox. So it is a real product, and it is a subscription program. And what it does, I did some discovery interviews last year that really opened my eyes to
learning.
The fact that leaders really want to coach their teams, Marty advocates, but they don't have this skill. They're not skilled in interviewing, so they don't know how to coach their teams on interviewing.
Yeah.
Or they're not skilled in assumption testing, but they want to.
Yeah.
And so with our toolbox, we're providing the curriculum from our deep dive courses, but we're providing it on demand for companies, and then we're pairing it with playbooks for leaders. So we're basically teaching leaders how to coach their teams, but based on our curriculum.
Yeah.
So they don't have to come up with their own way to teach interviewing. And I'm really excited about that. That's a brand new product for us. We have,
and that's so similar to what I do with my leadership email course, just for a broader type of topics, basically, because that's always the thing that I see leaders struggle to coach their teams and their product people effectively. And it's basically for, so it's for time management for product people. That's for road mapping. That's for, I don't know, strategy work. It's yeah. basically every product topic. A product leader needs to have a good, yeah, short explanations, good examples to coach their product team on the spot, the product leads, the product managers. And that's, I really like that you now have this kind of goggles on as well. That's always the that's my goggles all the time that I'm looking at. Every topic is like, okay, how can leaders coach this particular skill in the most effective way whenever yeah. they need it?
Yeah, I think training is going through a pretty big shift. And I think, I mean, AI is going to exacerbate this, but I think it started before AI. I think I've just been talking to more leaders that are trying to roll their own. They're running book clubs. They're reading mm-hmm. books with yeah. their teams.
Watch they're parties trying to, of conference talks.
yeah, or they're going to a conference together. They're yeah. doing lunch and learns. Mm-hmm. And I think, frankly, it's because we know, I mean, we teach workshops and we know, like, you don't change behavior in one workshop. It really requires that, like, the organization continue to support it and to encourage it and to reward the change in behavior. And so I think I'm trying to align our services to better nice. Match that, to match what we know works. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's like the one big change for me. And that's, I'm excited about that. Like, I feel like we're better aligning with what we know works in organizations. Mm-hmm. And then the second big one for me is I at the end of last year, released paid subscriptions mm-hmm. on Product Talk. And this is something I've been reluctant to do. Like, I really want my content to be widely available for mm-hmm. free. And a lot of it still is widely available for free. But the reason why I chose to move to a subscription model is because, as you know, and probably everybody listening knows, I've been diving deep on AI, both building AI products, using AI in my like daily productivity. And a lot of people kept asking me, like, when are you going to teach a course on this? And I think the problem is the space moves too fast. Like, I don't, when I design a course, I want it to work for years because designing yeah. a course is a lot of work.
So much work. It's so much work.
And I don't feel like we're at the point with AI where we can design a course that's going to work for years.
Yeah.
But I want to put the same level of like rigor and quality into my AI content that I would in a course. And so like, it doesn't feel right to just give that away for free.
Yeah.
And so what I like about this subscription model is I'm still writing high quality course content, but I'm delivering it
in a through more a subscription manner.
So yeah. it feels a little more ephemeral, like it yeah. can evolve.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing I'm excited about. And then as part of both of those things, I'm going to continue to build AI tools. So on the subscription side, where I focus a little more on like personal productivity, I'm starting to release Claude Code plugins for people based on the workflows I build. And then on the AI, like on the teaching discovery skills side, we've talked a lot about my interview coach, but I have several other AI products in development for teaching with AI. And those are all going to get rolled out as part of our on-demand courses. And so there's sort of two paths now. There's the like personal productivity AI side, and then there's the still investing in your discovery habits. But those are kind of my big themes for the year. What about you?
Sounds interesting. So most exciting thing, I have a week of kitesurfing coming up in March.
Amazing.
I can't wait. Really looking forward to that one. But business-wise, so of course, product at heart is shaping. And I think we will record another quick episode on that, what we're planning to do here in Hamburg for product people and product leaders next year. But that's always exciting. It takes a lot of my time. That's basically a lot of community work, and it's all the speaker's care. And you will be teaching an AI kind of maker studio / workshop / really practical thing there, right? So just that the listeners already know, that's possible to hang out with Theresa for a day to learn from her about AI. So that's definitely something that I'm always excited about. The product at Hardwork gives me so much energy. The conference days are draining, but overall it's such an energy boost. All this work, it's so much fun. And then I keep the coaching, the one-on-one coaching and the company coaching/consulting. That revolves around transformation. Still, that's a lot of product operating model transformation, coaching and consulting. But hands-on group coachings, team coachings, one-on-one coaching. So I'll keep that part, and I will continue to work on my email course that I just launched for product leaders on exactly what we already said, like how to coach your product people on particular concepts. That's a year-long thing, and I only written half of the content because for a similar reason. Otherwise, it's super outdated until the people actually reach this half a year mark or something like that. So I keep it slow on purpose, my writing style. It makes it more timely. It makes it more up to date, but I still have to write a lot of it. And then there are cohort-based calls happening for the people joining the course. I'm really looking forward to those ones. So the first one will happen somewhere in January with the people that bought the course September, October-ish. So I'm keen to hear what questions they will be asking. I have early emails from them, how they like the course and stuff like that. I obviously asked some of them. So that all sounds promising, but I think it's different if you have your first cohort based real life call. So yeah, let's see how that goes. And then I'm planning to do more around my product leadership wheel, which is a self-assessment tool for product leaders plus an org assessment tool. So how mature is your product organization to some extent? And that's a similar thing like with you and the subscription. So my product management assessment tool I launched for free. The product leadership assessment was so much work and it's so substantial. It's so much more pages on this PDF. It is really dense, and I think it's really helpful. And therefore, I decided I not launch it to the public yet. So for now, it's only available to my coaches, and I will do a small series of workshops next year where I will actually be helping people to go into reflection mode in the workshop. So it's not a training either. It's basically we will make sure that they have the time, this 6 hours or whatever the workshop duration is, to really reflect on their personal leadership style and what they think their product org should look like right now. And the first one will happen in Egypt, in Cairo, end of January. So I will be flying there, hopefully to see their new museum that everybody's talking about. I'm excited about that. And then the only other thing that I will be doing is the workshop on the product leadership wheel. And I think I'm on a fireside chat kind of panel-like thing for the MENA Product Summit that is happening for the second time. For the second year. So let's see how that goes. I can't wait to meet the product scene there because it's more community. I love it.
Is your product leadership wheel workshop in Cairo, is it like leaders from multiple companies or is it something you're doing with one company?
No, it's a public course, exactly. So it's leaders from multiple companies and multiple backgrounds. I saw quite a few people from Dubai flying in and signing up from it. So I think there will be a strong product people in Dubai emphasis in the audience. So let's see. And of course, a few locals from Egypt are already signed up. Bit of North Africa here and there is flying in. So let's see how that goes. And I've been to Egypt quite often because of the water sports and I love the region. So I can't wait to be there. And it's the first time I'm testing this course. So let's see how that actually goes. And hopefully I can run it. I have already plans for running it a few more times next year. So for me, it's all around the course. And then that's more content creation. And then it's the product leadership wheel to help leaders reflect on their leadership style and their community. And on the learning side, because you do a lot of the AI stuff, I'm planning to join you on that even more in the future. I already do a lot, but Claude Code definitely is my new playing ground as well. And nice. Then I'm really looking forward to going flying to Athens in Greece in May for the beautiful Business Economic Forum or whatever it's called. It's basically hosted by the House of Beautiful Business, which I attended last year already. And I love the community there because it's a lot focused around the beauty in running a business. It has a lot on the intersection with arts and music and all these kind of things. And it's a lot of interesting people coming together. And this time, I think it's a 5-day thing. So it's a big time commitment. Yeah, I can't wait. Let's see how that goes. So that's my...
I'm going to a few events next year as well. I'm going to...
Product at Heart.
I'm going to Product at Heart, which we'll talk about in our next episode. I'm also going to a content marketing conference. I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but Melissa actually introduced me to it.
Our editor.
And we're both going to be going together in late February. So that will be fun. It will be a great, like, it's a kind of conference where people that like run newsletter businesses share what's working and what's not working. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of supports my like subscription content side of things. And I am finding like it's really important to just go be an attendee at something where I can just learn and get away from my day to day. And then it's super fun to do it with Melissa. For listeners that don't know, Petra and I both use the same editor, Melissa Suzuno. Melissa and I used to go to the same conference for years and years. And then the conference ended and we've been looking for like, what's the replacement?
But the replacement sounds different to what you originally went to.
It totally is. It totally is. But we're really just looking for an excuse to get together every year in person. So that'll be fun. And then the big open question for me for the year is around the right go-to-market strategy for my AI tools. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them are being developed to support our courses. And so obviously... one of my go-to-market strategies will be to release them through my courses. I partnered with Vistaly. We're looking at integrating some of the tools in Vistaly as well. But I'm also starting to play with, should I be releasing them myself publicly and letting people try them? Because I think there's...
And how much customer care that involves.
Okay. So there's a lot of questions here. But I think there's... with some of the tools that I'm building right now, so with the interview coach, it's really clear, like, this is giving you feedback on your interview. This is a teaching tool. It's not doing the interview for you. But as I get into things like our interview snapshot course, I'm going to teach you how to create an interview snapshot. But I'm pretty darn close to having an AI tool that creates a pretty great interview snapshot. Mm-hmm. And I do believe something gets lost when we don't do the synthesis ourselves. But I also want to acknowledge the reality of a lot of product teams that are just busy. And if they can just have the answer, maybe we should just give them the answer.
Yeah.
And so some of these tools blur the lines between like, yes, an AI generated interview snapshot can help you learn how to create a good interview snapshot. It can also do the work for you. And then what becomes the right delivery mechanism for that? So it'll probably take me the year to figure it out, but I'll be running a lot of experiments around what's the right delivery mechanism, like go-to-market mechanism for a lot of these AI tools that I'm building. Yeah. But it's fun. I've been doing a lot of experimenting and there's so much potential here. And then it raises a lot of questions about what type of business do I want to run? Yeah. Like I don't really want to run a software company. But I also think we're going to have tooling, just like we have online course tooling, like we're going to have better AI product
distribution
tooling that maybe some of that stuff will be answered for me.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I'm going to continue I think my theme for the year is to just be a tinkerer and release the things that I tinker with.
And it's actually a really nice thing to looking forward to, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Because, and that's if you're a solopreneur, that's all you need. You need something that you're really excited about. Otherwise, it's way too hard to do it all yourself. So,
Oh, and then I thought of one more thing. I'll try to keep this brief. But one thing that one of my Claude Code workflows unlocked for me is I have a much better system now for staying current on academic research related to my work.
Nice.
And I'll give you an example. There's one area that I'm really intrigued by. My first reaction to this, in fact, we did an episode on this, was yuck. and I'm coming around. So there's this whole realm of like synthetic users. Can AI simulate human behavior? I have been diving deep on the studies on this. I'm going to tell you right now, the answer is no. Not yet. It's probably not yet. I am very intrigued by this space, and I think there's potential there. But it's really fun to dive deep. Like I, especially with Claude, I can ask, like, when I'm reading an academic paper and I don't understand all the statistics, I can actually now ask questions and learn about them and like really do a better job of vetting. Is this a valid study? Like, where are their gaps? I have a really rich understanding now of like literally the academic space and what studies have been done. And, you know, you get to a point when you do a literature review where you see who people are citing and you're like, oh, I've read that paper.
Exactly. So you have,
right? And so I'm going to roll some of this into my subscription business. I'm going to be releasing, I'll do a blog post about this, but I'm going to do a much deeper, almost like what you get from these like research report companies, just to help people with like what's real in this space. Because I can tell you right now, the companies that are offering these services are making really bold claims about this being validated by academic research. It's not true. Like, we're not there yet. And I do think like there's something really compelling here, but it's just too early. Like, it's compelling at the academic level. It's not compelling yet at the industry level. And I see that across the board, like across the discovery habits. We have all these vendors making ridiculous claims. And so I want to, like, as part of this subscription, roll out these like reports that help people be more educated buyers of these tools.
That's, by the way, the hard part about curating a conference these days with all these, we're doing a lot with AI. And then if you scratch the surface, not so much. And
that's maybe for the next episode now. This comes up in my podcast. I've interviewed teams and been like, I can't release your episode. Like, my interview uncovered, there's no AI there. It's awkward. I'm getting better at vetting teams ahead of time, but it's tough.
Us too, curation wise. So maybe we should wrap that up. That was a nice start to the year, I'd say, Teresa. Thank you.
Yeah, happy new year, everybody. Let us know what you're excited about this year.
Yes,
put it in. We're still hoping for comments.
Love to, even if it's if it's not kitesurfing, it would be fine as well to us. Next time. See you, Teresa.
Thanks, Petra.